Okay, now we can start.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Jordan Malley. Jordan, great to see you. Through our 670 scores scope. Yep.
Where is he?
And it's right over there, Bill.
Did Matt Peck get a signed copy of that book?
No, Matt Peck, he didn't. No. No. I'll talk to D. Rose.
Yeah, guys.
Matt, well, you will be getting your book soon.
Left side three. Remy.
Got it!
Levine, turn around, jumper up. Get it! Onions! Baby onions! Kobe White, put him in the Hall of Fame.
Locked On Bulls starts now.
You can just see the vibe.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Jordan Malley, along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop your text, your voicemails, anything you got for us, 331-979-1369. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com for 20% off your order now. Use the promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off. Welcome back from the weekend. It is a little bittersweet, Matt, I have to say, because the NBA season is officially over, with the bubble coming to an end, the Lakers winning the NBA Finals. It is a little bittersweet, although I didn't fully think we were going to be here at this point in the middle of October, say 4 months ago, Matt, when we were talking about the bubble idea, but I am so, so glad that we are. How are you? How was your weekend, and how did you enjoy the last two games of the Finals?
What's up, Jordan? What's up, Bulls Nation? Had a great weekend, and yes, like you, I was sad to see the NBA season come to an end, but also happy that we got there. And we can talk about the amazing run that Jimmy Butler just had leading that, you know, underdog Heat team through the bubble. We could talk about LeBron James and his legacy if you want to, because he certainly added another huge cornerstone to his NBA legacy last night. But to me, the person that deserves the most credit for all of this is Adam Silver. I mean, you think about the fact that in over 3 months of consecutive days of players, you know, being around one another, the staff of the hotels, the team staff, and everybody that went into making this happen, 3 months, 170-some basketball games, and not a single positive COVID-19 test. They executed this bubble plan to perfection. And a lot of us had doubts. I know I had my doubts at the beginning of hearing about this plan to go to Disney World and just play in this isolated bubble and whether or not it would work and what would happen if it didn't work. And the league was doing everything they could to finish a season, and they were doing so coughing up a huge expense to make all of this stuff happen when they were already dealing with insane loss in revenue because of all the games that they lost as far as the normal NBA TV schedule and all of the fans that didn't go to all of those NBA games from March through June. So that's where it starts and ends with me. Adam Silver should get all of the credit in the world, and his staff as well, of course, the people he put in charge of running various elements of this. But it's crazy that he pulled this off, especially when you consider how poorly our country has done with this pandemic in the same amount of time.
I'm 100% in agreement with you on that. And, you know, credit to all the workers too at Disney World, you know, that weren't a part of the NBA, weren't, you know, this wasn't their job before coronavirus. This wasn't their job. It was their job to go and be, whether it be somebody who works in the theme parks or works in the hotels or works in each of the kitchens as a chef, whoever it is, from the person that's working security at Disney, when 2020 started, they didn't think that they were going to have to also incorporate an entire NBA season, an entire league into one tiny little spot and be a part of that. But credit to them too, who a lot of them, you know, they were told that they didn't have to abide by coming in and out. And I give them a ton of credit too for being just as cautious, because I think that's part of the reason too is, you know, the workers that were there that aren't part of the league were very cautious in the way that they worked and the way that they were coming in and out. And especially in a state like Florida that had so many high testing positive rates there, and it's just a total mess there. So in a really shitty year, Matt, a really, really shitty year for a lot of people, this has been the one bright spot, and I think it's allowed a lot of people to have a second of escape. And I appreciate Adam Silver and all the teams too that battled it out, because it's not easy, man. It's not easy to sit there and be in the same place doing the same thing, isolated away from your family for 4 straight months. I get the money and the financials are part of the reason why they were down there, but still, like, mentally as a human being, that takes a toll on you. And so for the guys, especially the Heat and the Lakers, they had been there since the start in July. We're in October now, and none of them had seen their families. So credit to the players, credit to everybody that worked there, and like you said, credit to Adam Silver and the rest of the NBA office for pulling this off, because they did a hell of a job.
And I think the other thing that you have to make note of is the fact that a lot of these players and the organizations handled a pretty dicey situation about as well as you could hope, when it comes to the fact that some of these players were hesitant on whether or not they wanted to do this bubble experiment when it came to just the safety of themselves and their family and loved ones, you know, potentially risking something that didn't need to be risked to do this experiment. And then on top of that, to do so while our country was going through this, really trying time with more examples and incidents of police brutality towards people of color and minority citizens in this country. You had the George Floyd, you had the George Floyd thing. You had the Jacob Blake while they were in the bubble, and you had the Milwaukee Bucks, you know, boycotting their game that night, and everything. Yes, it's like, okay, the names and the phrases on the backs of their jerseys and the Black Lives Matter on the court, those are symbolic gestures and they're nice. But the actual, like, progress that was spurred on by the players of the league, the Players Association, and these organizations coming together, the commitment that the organizations made across all 30 teams, that $300 million towards the advancement of black communities across this country, and the NBA's financial commitment to that. You had Bucks players talking to, you know, state legislators in the state of Wisconsin, talking about what we can actively do to change some of this stuff. So while they're also worrying about trying to win basketball games, they were trying to change the country for the better. And I can't imagine all of the pressure that goes into trying to juggle both of those things at the same time. And I think the players and the league did a pretty good job handling that as well.
Got plenty of stuff to talk about too, with in terms of actual basketball that happened, because Matt, we need to talk about game 5 and game 6 and maybe just some of the highlights of the NBA season as a whole. Because I was telling you, I was watching Worldwide Wob's 10-minute NBA season as a whole kind of wrap up video. He did one last year, and I believe this is maybe the third year he's done it. He does an amazing job with it, though, and there's so many things that you forget about that happened, and all the nuances and little storylines throughout the season that you're like, holy shit, I can't believe I forgot that happened. So we'll go through the best of those, as well as, again, some of these. We need to backtrack and talk about Game 5 and Game 6, because there was so much that went on this weekend in terms of basketball stuff that I was thrilled and then disappointed yesterday, but we'll get into that in a second. Want to tell our listeners about our fantastic sponsor in Built Bar. Built Bar, we've been telling you guys about them for months now. They have 6 new flavors in caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. That goes along with their 12 original flavors we've been telling you about for months, enjoying them for months, including peanut butter, German chocolate, raspberry, chocolate almond, and 8 other original flavors. The bars are covered in 100% chocolate, and they're soft and easy to chew. They're great for the healthy conscious guy or girl in your life. Lose and maintain weight while you indulge in a delicious treat. Bars are low calorie, low in sugar, high in protein, and high in fiber. They're great for the keto diet. One of my favorites is the peanut butter bar. It has 19 grams of protein in it, 180 calories, only 5 grams of sugar, and only 5 grams of net carbs. Along with those amazing flavors, Built Bar is doing something exciting exclusively for the month of October. They have a limited release strawberry flavor. Seriously, it's amazing. And they're giving 12% off your order through October 12th, which is today. They're partnered with Barbells for Boobs, Breast Cancer Angels, Huntsman Cancer Institute, and Living Beyond Breast Cancer. Built Bar will match your donations to the organizations listed above up to $50 per order. Plus, 100% of the proceeds from Built Bar Breast Cancer Awareness Hoodie will go to these organizations to help support breast cancer patients and their families. Breast Cancer Awareness Hoodies are available right now for $19.95. So again, that's 12% off every single order when you choose one of the limited release options, and that is the strawberry bar, including the other flavors that they have to offer in the six brand new flavors in the 12 originals. So go to builtbar.com right now, use the promo code Locked On, and you'll get 20% off of your next order. Use promo code Locked On for 20% off at builtbar.com.
Kentavious Caldwell Pope,
we're high on.
So Matt, I have to eat my words a little bit here. It's been a year since that happened. A little over a year since that has been talked about. And KCP had a fucking amazing playoffs, man. Like, he changed the opinion. And I don't feel as bad because I'm not in the minority group. I'm not on this tiny little island that hated KCP or didn't think he was any good. He just didn't live up to his potential. And I think a lot of fans knew that. And Lakers fans killed him in the early of the season. But if it wasn't for KCP, man, he was a vital, vital, vital piece of that Lakers team. And I give him a lot of credit. And he's going to get paid this summer.
Yeah. And to me, his performance in the finals kind of came out of nowhere. He was a role player who in large stretches was underperforming, I thought, for the Lakers this season. Which to me at the time was like, yeah, I'm fine with the fact that the Bulls didn't end up getting this guy because they were kind of targeting him before Otto Porter Jr. became available after John Wall's injury. So I was like, yeah, I mean, a fine player, but nothing great. I didn't see him being a big team changing kind of player. But when you were looking at the Lakers run through the playoffs and saying, okay, who's going to step up outside of LeBron and AD tonight? And sometimes they didn't even really need that. If LeBron and AD both had monster games, it was pretty much enough for the Lakers to win. But when only one of those two had a monster game and somebody else needed to step up, I felt like he was KCP more often than it was anybody else. Now, granted, I will also say that you got to give mad respect to Rajon Rondo. I mean, that dude changed a lot of momentum in key moments for the Lakers through their playoff run. But outside of Rondo, who you might say was the third borderline, you know, like veteran slash star, or at least, you know, aging out of stardom kind of player on that roster, that outside of those three, you know, Bron, AD, and Rondo, KCP was the most consistent.
He's a baller. He balls.
It's a good point on Rondo, too, man. Rondo had such a good... He had a weird playoff because one game he would drain 13, 14 points. The next game he would put up 11 assists. The next game he'd have 7, 5, and 7. It was weird, but he was exactly what they needed when Danny Green wasn't hitting any shots, and he didn't do that throughout right. The entire playoff, man.
Dude, when the hell did Rondo learn how to shoot threes? Because I don't recall that being a part of his game when he was here.
You know the interesting thing? Two things on Rondo, and we'll go to a little bit more on this game. One was, do you think he's a Hall of Famer at this point? And two, do you think it's a little... I guess it went a little under the radar, but Rondo was never asked about Butler or his time spending as a teammate with Butler for 1 year in Chicago. And I wish somebody would have asked him about that throughout this series, because I think there would have been something good to say there or something juicy to be said there when Jimmy Butler's getting all this hype throughout the entire finals run, which totally deserving too. But I would have liked to hear what Rondo had to say.
Yeah, I mean, what we heard, I mean, the biggest story involving Butler and Rondo during the three alpha season was obviously the night when the Bulls coughed up that late lead against the Atlanta Hawks. Butler and Wade took their turns, you know, running their mouths to the media about calling out the younger teammates and saying that they needed to care more, they needed to be bothered more by losses like this, and that they have to earn certain shots that they're taking down the stretch of these close games. And then Rondo clapped back with his Instagram post being like, you know, when I was in Boston and I was a young player, you know, the veterans led the way and the veterans put the responsibility on themselves and they didn't call out the younger players like this. Like, that's true leadership and et cetera, et cetera. I'm paraphrasing. We all remember that post. So clearly Rondo and Butler had at least one issue between them, which is that they viewed leadership in different ways. And I think for all of the talk that Bulls fans have had over the last month or so as Jimmy's Heat have made their run to the finals about what went wrong with Jimmy, what happened with Jimmy, and, you know, seller's remorse and all that stuff, I think you cannot deny that the leader that Jimmy Butler is today is definitely a different person than who he was as his Bulls tenure was winding down.
Paul Zipser, who were high on.
That was the dude that missed the shot, too, when we're talking about the Instagram night as well. And I blame more Dwayne Wade for that than anything else. And I wonder if that's, too, if Rondo blames Wade more for coming in and, I don't know, getting these ideas and thoughts inside of Butler's head and not being the guy that Butler, I don't know, like, almost like Rondo being big brother to Butler and being a little bit of a mentor to him and asking him how do you become a great player and how do you get to a point where you're taking a team to the finals. Like, there's a lot more. I get Wade has his experience there too, but I wonder if there was some sourness about Rondo not being able to give his insight as well too. And I mean, again, we could talk about this for hours and hours and hours, but I just felt like that was a storyline I would have been interested to hear, is like Rondo was a teammate with his too, and things didn't end here well with either of them. I'm surprised nobody brought that up or nobody asked or questioned them about that. But again, back to my first question though, do you think Rondo's a Hall of Famer at this point?
I would say he's, you know, on the cusp. I think he's borderline. I mean, he is a all-time playmaker in this league, and he's got two titles now, and it's pretty impressive how far apart those are when you think about the fact that, you know, Rondo was still just like a entering his prime young player when the Celtics won it all in 2008, and now he's won his second title in 2020. You know, that's a pretty wide gap. I don't know. I would put him on the fence right now. What about you?
I think he gets in. I think he's still going to play too. So anything that comes after this, whether it be a year, whether it be 3 years, is just going to be icing on the cake at this point. I mean, a two-time NBA champion, four-time NBA All-Star, All-NBA third team in 2012, two-time All-NBA defensive first team in 2010 and 2011. Two-time all-defensive second team in 2009 and 2012. He was three-time NBA assists leader, 2012, 2013, 2016. NBA steals leader in 2010. He was NBA all-rookie second team. He was a first-round draft pick. Bounced around from a bunch of different places, too. And honestly, like, if you talk to a lot of guys that he, even guys that he played with in Sacramento for the year, ask Boogie Cousins about how he feels about Rajon Rondo. I'm sure he said, yeah, thanks to that guy, I got fucking paid. I got paid because he was averaging 12 assists a game and was letting me put up 55 a night. Like, things like that, too, I think impact Hall of Famers. And also, too, Rondo's just got an amazing basketball mind, too. So I think anybody you talk to and ask for their opinion on Rondo and whether or not he should be in, I think he should be talked about as among the greats. And remember, it's not just the NBA Hall of Fame either. It's basketball Hall of Fame, too. So we could even go back to college and high school and all the accolades that he put up there. So combine all that together, and I say Rondo is a Hall of Famer. He's not a first balloter, though, but he will get in at some point. I did see B-Ball Reference put out their projections. They've got like their Hall of Fame probabilities, and he was at 42% after last night.
And so Basketball Reference has him currently Hall of Fame probability at 60.6.
Wow.
So, you know, I think, you know, kind of like in that boat you were saying, he might not be a first ballot Hall of Famer, but probably will get in eventually. And I think it would be deserved.
And I didn't even get a chance to list off all of his accolades in the playoffs either, which he was even fucking better in the playoffs historically, career-wise. So
there's a reason people say playoff Rondo, man.
It's the reason why people still argue the Bulls win that series in the opening round against the Celtics had he not broke his finger. But
yeah, if only Jimmy Butler could have led him to a couple of victories when Rondo went down. Oh, wait. Oh, matches opened a can of worms, everybody.
Oh, man.
All right, Jordan, we'll get back to our last final thoughts on the NBA season and the NBA finals. as well as some news with the Bulls coaching staff that came out earlier today. But before we do that, wanted to tell our listeners about Roman. How often do you use excuses like, I had a long day at work, or I'm just not feeling it? It's not easy to talk about erectile dysfunction, but Roman makes it easy to discuss and treat ED. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship you real medicine with free two-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/LockedOn and complete the online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to talk about, but now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Right now, our Locked On Bulls listeners can get this deal. If they go to GetRoman.com/LockedOn, you'll get up to $50 off your first month of ED treatment, a free online visit, and free two-day shipping. That's GetRoman.com/LockedOn for up to $50 off your first month of ED treatment. GetRoman.com/LockedOn.
And J.R. Smith already shirtless.
That was the best last night. Was it even over yet? J.R. Smith had his shirt off, screaming, running around. Some good storylines in there, too. Man, one guy that we need to shout out to is Talen Horton-Tucker, man. Second youngest player in the league to win an NBA Finals, to win a championship. He's 19. Not even 19 and a half years old. I think they said 19.3 years old. So a dude that isn't even legally allowed to buy his own alcoholic beverage yet has an NBA championship ring with the Lakers, and he's a Chicago-made guy from Simeon, too. So shout out to Talen Horton-Tucker.
Congrats to him. Another detail from the Lakers celebration that I thought was funny last night. Did you see that the Lakers team bus left without Quinn Cook when they were going from the arena back to their hotel?
Really? That's hilarious.
Yeah, so like the Lakers or somebody on the Lakers was like live streaming on Instagram from inside the team bus, and Quinn Cook was commenting on the live Instagram feed being like, yo, pull a U-turn, y'all left without me. And then he had a subsequent post that it was like, man, you know, I want a title and I got to walk my ass back to the hotel. And my thought was like, dude, I totally forgot that Quinn Cook was on this team.
Dude's got two titles too, right? He won at least one with Golden State. If not, this might be his third title. I'm not 100% sure, but that is too funny. Some of the other funny things that happened too was Kyle Kuzma at the post-game podium.
Like, I'm half drunk right now from all the champagne, so I don't know how to act exactly, but...
That was too good. It was too good. Matt, there was an alternate version of LeBron James' post-finals podium speech that was running through my head thinking about Bulls fans and other fan bases that might be a little salty about LeBron's run over the last decade or so, and just not being a part of it, having to be one of the constant enemies that LeBron has to face and conquer. And it's just kind of left a sour taste for, I think, Bulls fans, and it's probably a couple other handful of other fan bases that feel the same way. But I was thinking this the entire time when I was listening to him talk, especially at the end.
We just want our respect.
All right, zip it.
Rob wants his respect.
Zip it. Zip.
Coach Vogel wants his respect.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, exhibit A.
Our organization want their respect. Laker Nation want their respect.
Look, I'm Zippy Longstocking.
And I want my damn respect, too.
When a problem comes along, you must zip it. Zip it good.
Oh, my God. 4-6 in the finals, man. 4-6 in the finals.
Yeah, and people, I don't know if you read the column by Zach Lowe that came out this morning, just sort of like updating the where do we stand in the LeBron GOAT argument versus MJ GOAT argument. And I thought that Zach was very insightful with a lot of his stuff, kind of, you know, just comparing their different track records, their playoff paths to titles, to the finals, and their performances in their respective finals. You know, people can nitpick about the, you know, the two finals performances in particular that people blame or hold against LeBron, that being 2011 against Dallas and then 2014 against San Antonio when the Heat just got mopped in five games. And then there are others where it's like, okay, in 2007, he was a young player in his fourth year, dragged a nobody team of Cavs to go then get, you know, gentlemanly bounced by the Spurs, who were in their prime at the time. And, you know, facing one of the arguably greatest assembled teams of all time in that Warriors dynasty. So, yeah, he's 4-6 in the finals. I think going to the finals in 10 consecutive or 9 consecutive seasons is crazy. Like, that's crazy. The fact that LeBron James, regardless of the team that he's been on, you know, obviously, so like last year, he was hurt. The Lakers were still kind of figuring out what they were doing, and they missed the playoffs. But when LeBron has been healthy and available, other than that one little blip, he has taken his team to the finals every year since 2011. That's insane. And I think everybody has to respect that. I still, you know, I'm someone who believes that Michael Jordan will always go down as the greatest player of all time in basketball history. And anybody can disagree with that, but people who are dismissing any parts of what LeBron has accomplished, and yes, adding Anthony Davis to your team sure as hell makes a big difference. Anthony Davis proved time and again that he is one of the most dominant players in this league. He is a top five player in this league. So when you add that to LeBron, who in somehow year 17 is still himself a top five player in this league, yeah, it makes sense that they went all the way to the finals and won them. But you cannot discredit this incredible run that LeBron James has had. You can nitpick about certain things, but given the expectations that were put upon him as a high schooler on the cover of a Sports Illustrated magazine, the guy has delivered throughout his entire career. And even as someone who has been kind of a LeBron hater at times for those nitpicky reasons, and because he has bounced my team out of the playoffs time and again, I'm still sitting here today saying, just appreciate how fucking good LeBron James is.
And I want my damn respect too.
It's all good points, and I think the sourness has sort of dissolved over the last handful of years here in Chicago, especially like after Jimmy left. Like once Jimmy was gone and LeBron decided to go to the Lakers, it's been sort of an afterthought here, and I think so many people here in Chicago are so tired of the MJ LeBron conversation. Like it's tiresome nationally, but even here in Chicago, it's so frustrating to listen to time and time again. And if you want to have that argument, back it up with 24 points on both sides, and I'd actually appreciate and listen to it, but it's the same damn argument over and again. It's the same talking points and same bullshit. I totally agree with you, though. Respecting LeBron's career and understanding what we're living and watching. And one day, maybe like those people who are still on the fence is like, yeah, but I'm still salty at LeBron for beating my teams and all of that. You know, maybe 10 years down the line, you'll start to think back and be like, holy shit, like that dude played. I get to tell my kids about that. I get to tell my grandkids about watching and experiencing LeBron James and like our prime fandomhood of the NBA. And I think about prime fandom as like your early teens all the way up to maybe your mid-30s. That's like your super prime fandom across the NBA. And a lot of people are going to be able to tell their kids and their grandkids about watching LeBron James over and over again, the same way that my dad was able to tell me about Michael Jordan, the same way millions of other dads, moms, brothers, sisters were able to tell their kids or their families right. about watching LeBron live.
And that, you know, that kind of lingering feeling of resentment or bitterness that some Bulls fans have towards LeBron, and again, I have certainly included myself in that category, depending on the day, the month, the year, my mood, and what LeBron just did to my Bulls. But that is the same way that fans of the Knicks felt, fans of the Pacers felt, fans of the Cleveland Cavaliers. While we, at least, you know, my generation that were kids watching Jordan growing up, you know, our fellow youth, as you're talking about, like the years where you're really falling in love with the sport and being just a kid who's a fan of basketball and enjoys watching the best play their sport, Bulls fans in the 90s, we were the spoiled ones. And we had contemporaries at that time for fan bases of other teams who just constantly had to get kicked down and stomped on by the greatness of Michael Jordan. And while LeBron has not had as, you know, dominant of a run, he kind of, it's more impressive in the similar way with Rondo. It's like, you know, LeBron won his first title in 2012 and he just won another title in 2020, 8 years apart. That's impressive. LeBron has never gone on a streak like that. He has one repeat in 12 and 13. And so, you know, maybe that's another element to that argument, but the fans who have had to watch their team get ousted by LeBron or dominated by LeBron, that's how fans felt when we were all enjoying Jordan do that to other teams.
That is for sure, man. And hopefully it's sooner rather than later that the tides start to turn, at least things that we can be excited about here. And if it ever gets to a point before LeBron retires, that won't be a Warrior concern. I don't think it'll ever be a Warrior concern, us talking about having to get past LeBron again. But finally, Matt, before we wrap up and get out of here for the day, a couple Bulls notes, right? We were talking earlier about the reports coming out about cleaning house among the assistants. Billy Donovan letting a handful of coaches know that he's going to start fresh. But you and I had the same agreement when we saw those list of names, is one of the names not on that list being told thanks but no thanks is Chris Fleming.
Right. So his name was not included in the names of those who were relieved of their duties as assistant coaches, those being Dean Cooper, Nate Lenzer, Roy Rogers, and Karen Stack Umlauf. As Casey Johnson noted after his initial report, Fleming has a working history with Arturis Karnišovas, the Bulls' new VP of basketball ops, in their years in Denver. And he was present and helping run the Bulls mini camp bubble that just took place a couple of weeks ago. So he is valued by AK and the new front office. So I was kind of wondering if there was going to be a holdover, if Fleming would be the lone holdover because of his relationship with AK and clearly Billy Donovan signing off on that. And the others, to me, the biggest thing that it tells you, knowing that back in May, before they relieved Jim Boylan, and this came in Joe Cowley's column for the Times today, he noted that Boylan advocated for them to pick up the team option for another year of assistant coach Nate Lenzer, and AK obliged. And so he was under contract. Roy Rogers just finished year one of a three-year deal, and they were both dismissed. So this is the latest example of the Reinsdorf actually putting their money where their mouths are and saying, we are giving AK the reins. We are letting him run this, and we are not going to constrict him or confine him in any way when it comes to the best basketball decisions for our organization moving forward, with no worry about cost, because they have paid Jim Boylan to go away, and now they're paying his assistants to go away. The other thing that I would note, is you have to give incredible credit to Karen Stack Umlauf. This ends a 35-year run of her working for the Bulls organization. She was hired by Jerry Krause in 1985 and did a lot of different things for the organization over those years, working in the basketball operations office in a variety of ways over the years, administrative roles. And then over the past few years, as we've known, worked her way towards becoming a assistant coach, you know, sitting just a few chairs down from the head coach, one of the first handful of women to hold that role at the NBA level. So credit to the Bulls for being one of those progressive, forward-thinking organizations in that regard, and credit to her for, I mean, 35 years is a long time to commit to an organization. So Bulls fans should say a thank you to her today.
Her dad, who is Jim Stack, worked as an executive for the Bulls for a long time as well. And I know their family was connected throughout working for the organization. And I believe there's a couple other family members among the Stacks that worked throughout the Bulls over the course of the last few decades. So yeah, there has been definitely some connection there. And yeah, Jim Stack's from Burbank. He played in the NBA. He went to Northwestern and then ended up working for the Bulls, the Pacers, the Knicks, as for the Pacers and the Knicks as an assistant coach and an executive and a scout for the Bulls. And he was the GM for a short time for about 5 years for the Timberwolves back in the early 2000s. But yeah, you can see it, though, on both sides of both organizations that the Reinsdorfs own. Things are being cleared out. They're allowing the people that they brought in to run the day-to-day, the actual X's and O's on the court or the on-field things on the Sox side, actually letting those people do their work and make their decisions and be okay and comfortable with it. Rick Hahn doing the things that he needs to do to take the Sox to the next level. And now the Bulls, allowing AK and Mark Eversley free reign to do what they want. And subsequently, AK's allowing Billy Donovan to do what he feels is going to be best for this team long term. So it's all good things, and the Reinsdorfs have finally kind of woken up and decided that both sides of town cannot be that team that everybody forgets about, which, Matt, I sadly say that I think the Blackhawks are now going to become that team.
Yeah, I mean, especially after the trade that we just saw them make over the weekend, you know, sending off Brandon Saad, got a defenseman. And most people curious as to what exactly that trade means. You got rid of Artemi Panarin to get Brandon Saad back. And now you've turned around and shipped him out after Saad had a pretty disappointing second stint with the Blackhawks. So, I think Stan Bowman is becoming that guy. Obviously, people are upset with Ryan Pace still with the failed Mitchell Trubisky experiment for the Bears. But I think that Jerry Reinsdorf deserves some credit because there are a lot of, Bulls / White Sox fans like yourself, Jordan, today saying, wow, like they recognize that Renteria was kind of a step A to step B, but not a step B to step C kind of manager, made some questionable decisions as the White Sox lost that first round playoff series, their first playoff appearance in 12 years to the Oakland A's, and they needed to bring in somebody new. And having that same recognition and change of course and committing and sticking to that change of course with the Bulls as well as the White Sox, maybe finally at some point over the last year when all this crazy shit has been going on in our country, Jerry Reinsdorf woke up from whatever extensive nap he was in and decided to actually do some things about his organizations that were getting laughed at, in all honesty. So it's good news for the Bulls. It's good news for the White Sox. And I think as far as the Bulls specifically with these moves, it makes sense to me. Like, you needed to clean house. Yes, John Paxson still has his flowery role of a senior advisor or whatever, but he is only going to give his opinion if it is requested of him. You got rid of Gar, you got rid of Jim, you swept out the existing staff on the bench, save one, who the new VP of basketball respects and already knows. It is a house cleaning, and it is absolutely what needed to happen for the Bulls to put a fresh step in a new direction.
Bulls opened last night with a 55-1 odds to win the 2021 NBA Finals. That was shortly after the Finals had come to a conclusion. They put out those odds. Those are on FanDuel. I just checked again, Matt, before we had hopped on to record this episode around noon or so, and the Bulls are now 130-1 to win the NBA Finals. Teams with the same odds include the Hawks, Timberwolves, and Magic, and then teams with the worse odds than the Bulls to win the Finals next year, as of now, are the Kings, Wizards, and Spurs, Pistons, Cavs, Hornets, and Knicks. So it's good to see that we're not the Cavs, Hornets, or Knicks, who are 250-1 to win the NBA Finals, and especially with the Knicks being a team who's been meddling in below mediocrity for so damn long. So, Bulls 130-1. So if you're like C. Red Fred out there and maybe thinks that the Finals could surprise a lot of people, you can get some good value on 130-1 for the Bulls next season. But the Lakers came back in as the clear-on favorites for next year's Finals.
Fred might be the only person placing a bet on the Bulls to win the title next year. Although, I'll open this can of worms too, even though I do not think it's realistic. Did you hear AD's comments about his future after they won the title last night?
Did not.
Seemed a little wishy-washy with his commitment to staying in L.A. I saw a lot of Bulls fans on Twitter last night with photoshopped pictures of AD in a Bulls jersey saying, come home, time to come home. including people that really went nuts after they heard his comments that certainly didn't. I mean, they sounded noncommittal about his future of staying in LA. He said he really had no idea what the future holds right now. So certainly that might swing the Bulls title odds at some point if that were to happen. But I'm going to stick with the Vegas odds for right now, which is that this team still has a long way to go.
I'm going to tease a theory I'll tell you a little more tomorrow about, but I feel like there is a 1 to 5% chance that if the Lakers win the finals next year again and they're back-to-back title winners and it's LeBron and AD again, LeBron's on his final year of his contract. AD would be on, I would guess, a one-year deal, or he'd have an opt-out there. The 2022 year where the Bulls left $60-plus million in cap space, LeBron being at his fifth ring, one more chance to tie MJ's sixth ring, and what place to do that other than Chicago? Could you imagine, Matt? We can dive more into that, and I could tell you my theories to kind of back that up tomorrow, but I was thinking about that last night. I was like, holy shit, man. Like, what happens if LeBron really does care about winning and really does care about getting six rings, and he realizes the Lakers, after winning back-to-back there, won't be able to do that, and maybe AD wants to find a place where he can be long-term and be comfortable and tells LeBron, you know what, I helped you in LA win these two titles. Now, come for one more year to Chicago. I'll float those ideas to you tomorrow, and maybe some other people are having those ideas too.
I love it.
But that's going to about do it for Locked On Bulls here. Thanks again for listening all season long. I know we haven't had basketball since March, but having the season go on and finish throughout the bubble without any hiccups has been fantastic to watch. We've got a lot of off-season things to talk about, though, whether it be the NBA draft, be free agency, it be about trades, any of those coming up in the next couple of months. Definitely need to get to. So 331-979-1369 if you want to drop your text, your voicemails, anything you got for us. We're on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls_Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful day. Be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
We just want our respect.
All right, zip it.
Rob wants his respect.
Zip it. Zip.
Coach Vogel wants his respect.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, exhibit A.
Our organization want their respect. Laker Nation want their respect.
Look, I'm Zippy Longstocking.
And I want my damn respect, too.
When a problem comes along, you must zip it. Zip it good.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com